All right. I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about some things I feel like I need to say before we take the field tomorrow, because tomorrow we start a real training camp practice. Let me say this. Protect each other. If a running back is tripping, coming through the hole, but a safety is coming downhill, you got a free shot on him. You don't take that shot on your teammate, man. You protect your teammate. No excuses, no complaining. No matter what the situation is, man, no excuses, no complaining, okay? And lastly, don't start looking at your position and counting numbers, okay? Do not count yourself out. Let me tell you something. If you do the things that we ask you to do, and you always compete, and you show toughness and selflessness, if another head coach called me, I'm going to tell him just that. But on the flip side of that, if your ass a turd, I'm going to tell him you're a turd.
Yes, coach, and that is Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn, and he's telling his team how he feels. Welcome to the Hard Knocks podcast, where we hope every week you, the listeners, aren't telling anybody that this is a turd and you tell us how you feel, because we are delivering the goods after every single episode of HBO and NFL Films' Hard Knocks Los Angeles season. And this week, we have a great podcast for you. A terrific episode of the show is matched by two awesome guests joining me from the West Coast on this podcast. With SoFi Stadium finally, officially, sorta opening its doors for its first football scrimmage last Saturday, I speak with one of the many people behind the scenes who has helped make the NFL dream a reality in Los Angeles. And that is Chief Operating Officer of the Los Angeles Rams, Kevin Demoff. And after we get to see Chris Harris's new digs and learn a little more about Tyrod Taylor and Melvin Ingram, we're going to bring in NFL Network analyst and Chargers radio color commentator, Daniel Jeremiah. DJ's got insight on Anthony Lynn's team and the Chargers rookie quarterback, Justin Herbert, who Daniel has gotten to know quite well even before his first ever NFL snap. We've got to start off with the first day of padded practices and actual physical contact in training camp. It's the theme of the entire episode, and as odd as it sounds, just seeing players tackling each other feels, and how do I say, sounds really comforting. Football is back, and the players from both teams seem excited to get back to what feels normal. Chargers wide receivers coach Phil McGagan is in his third year with the team. He lays it out for us right from the top in a meeting with his offense. Take a listen.
The great ones find a way to run block, do all the little things. It's not just splash plays. Do what the f*** you're coached to do. There's life-changing money that lies between you and number 20. Find a way to do it. You guys don't have kids yet, but like if I told you this was like your three-year-old son and this guy was trying to kill him, is this how hard you would punch him? If you want a job, you want to press somebody, block the shit out of somebody. I've said it positive. I've said it negative. I've said it like a dick. I've said it like your best friend. I don't know what else to tell you besides your job's on the line. Do the f***ing job when that's what you do.
See, coach lays it all out right there. But he's hitting on something that's even a little sensitive for Chargers fans and potentially those who work and play for the organization. See, the Chargers were supposed to be really good last year. Like Super Bowl contender good, like compete with Patrick Mahomes good. Because in 2018, they were a 12-4 team that not only had a great season, but they beat Lamar Jackson and the Ravens in their building in the playoffs. So longtime quarterback Philip Rivers, who had arguably his best season of his 16-year career, was coming back with a mix of younger and older players who were supposed to combine for great production. And everything seemed to be pointing in the right direction all last summer, with arrows up across the board as they started the year off. But the Chargers didn't fulfill expectations last year. No, there were devastating injuries. There was a contract holdout. There was a change at the offensive coordinator position. And there were little things, like coach references, that kept Los Angeles from having the same success they did in 2018 and 2019. And now, well, now they're going to have a new starting quarterback week one. Phillip Rivers is gone. They're going to have plenty of talent on paper. And they are going to have some big question marks and critics entering this 2020 season. But they will also have some additions. And one of those additions is a guy they all know quite well. It's a former rival and Denver Broncos legend, Chris Harris Jr. On this week's Hard Knocks, we get to know the dynamic cornerback. both in his home with his wife as they talk about adjusting to Los Angeles, and on the practice field, where he and a former longtime rival, wide receiver Keenan Allen, go at it in a one-on-one of two of the best players in the world doing what they do. You see, Harris and Allen squaring off is a show within the show, and it has been for some time. Now, the Chargers are seeing it every single day at practice.
I already done won 12 out of the 16 battles. So I don't need, we don't need to talk. Ain't nothing to talk about.
I can listen to Chris Harris speak and I can watch him play all day long, but the biggest new addition to Los Angeles isn't him or Justin Herbert for the Chargers or Rams rookies Cam Akers or Van Jefferson or even Clay Johnston. No, it's the new stadium that both teams will be playing in 2020. And in week 3's episode, we get to see SoFi Stadium, the architectural masterpiece and home to both the Rams and the Chargers in all its grandeur. A few Rams players, Jared Goff and John Johnson, get to go on a guided tour of the new stadium. And at the end of the episode, the Rams have a spirited intra-squad scrimmage on the field itself. But it's the Hard Knocks music montage with shots of an amazing new locker room, palm trees a few feet off the field, a body of water at the stadium, and what appears to be a video board that would put any other stadiums to shame that had me wanting to talk about the building itself. See, it's 5 years in the making, and this thing is finally, finally opening on September 13th when the Rams take on the Cowboys. But it's opening with no fans. It's a bit of a bummer, but it's part of the deal in what's been nothing short of a bummer year in American history. And one guy who is not in the dumps over it, or in the dumps over the cancellation of a Taylor Swift concert that was supposed to be there, or a Guns N' Roses concert that was supposed to be there, that's Rams chief operating officer and the point person for a lot of what we're getting at SoFi Stadium, Kevin Demoff.
Peter Schrader, this is an honor. I've never been on Hard Knocks, but now I get to be on the Hard Knocks podcast.
I've known Kevin for a long time, dating back to his years when he was with the St. Louis Rams in Missouri. And once upon a time, before this part of his career, he worked in sports TV, just like me, on the Fox slot as a researcher. Now, he's one of the most respected business leaders in the sports world. And SoFi Stadium is his baby.
Let's just get right into Saturday. This past Saturday, you guys had a full-on scrimmage, offense versus defense. And it was the first time a lot of these players got a chance to put on the pads, put on the new uniforms, and be on the new field. What was it like walking in there amidst what, of course, is a weird, weird situation with the pandemic, and yet even still seeing the Los Angeles Rams in those uniforms walk in the building?
I think the most amazing thing was watching the team go into the locker room and get excited about a new locker room. We've been in a temporary locker room at the Coliseum for so many years. It was USC's. It wasn't our own. And the players' faces, they came in the buses down the tunnel. They walked into the locker room, and their faces lit up about having this new space that was theirs. But then there was this awesome moment where they all just started migrating out to the field, took their phones out, and started kind of giggling like school kids and capturing everything. And that was the most rewarding part for all of us who have worked on the stadium, was just seeing their reactions when they came onto the field. They took out their cameras, they're posting to social media, and they're all looking at each other with this amazing look in their eyes, like, we get to play here. And I think that captured everything you wanted from the first moment. And while this summer in opening the stadium hasn't gone as we expected over the past few years, to see them get to be the first people in the stadium for any event was an awesome feeling.
Yeah, and I remember the original first event, quote unquote, tell me if I'm wrong, was a Taylor Swift concert that was supposed to happen. That concert, of course, had to be canceled or postponed or whatever it is. Take us through the last few months, I guess, and what was expected from that launch in late July into what we went through on Saturday with the players actually getting out there.
Yeah, so the building was supposed to open with Taylor Swift July 25th and 26th, followed by Kenny Chesney, followed by Guns N' Roses. And then the first NFL event was supposed to be our preseason game against the New Orleans Saints, which would have been on August 14th. So all of that goes by the wayside. And you know, you have a difficulty swallowing that this building's open in a pandemic, and kind of that initial just disappointment weighs on you. And then you remember that this building is so amazing. It's going to host the Super Bowl in 2022. you know, the opening and closing ceremonies of the Olympics in 2028, hopefully the World Cup and all these great events. And then it's not just built for 2020, that it's built for the long run. So it is disappointing that we didn't get to open with 70,000, you know, Taylor Swifties singing at the top of their lungs, or get to debut it against the Saints. But, you know, there was something unique too about our players being able to walk in for the first time and open the stadium that way as well. And it will be that way September 13th against the Cowboys.
I would have thought you, me, maybe a few other folks from the Rams, sweet child of mine, right at that Guns N' Roses. Didn't happen. But guess what? There was football and there's going to be football. September 13th, Cowboys come to town, Sunday Night Football. Is this building going to be ready to put on an NFL regular season game?
It will definitely be ready. That was part of the goal of Saturday, was to have our team pull in to the locker room, change, go out, come back at halftime, use those breaks, get in uniform, test out the coaching headsets on both sides with the carts, test out the video board to make sure that the down and distance was where Coach McVay liked it and he could see it, any changes we needed to make there, show the replays. We did a challenge during the scrimmage just so we could get through those mechanics of showing it on the board. So it'll be different, likely with no fans, September 13th, but that doesn't take away from the fact that this building has to be ready for prime time for the rest of the nation to see.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've done the sales pitch for the last several years about all the nooks and crannies that go into the stadium, but for our listeners who might not be day-to-day Los Angeles Rams fans or day-to-day NFL fans, what are some of the cooler elements or features to this stadium, SoFi Stadium, that this team and your organization, and of course the Chargers will be playing games there too. What are we as NFL fans going to see in this stadium that we don't see elsewhere?
Well, I think the first thing that people notice probably from this past Saturday and our players gravitated to is the unbelievable video board that we have, which is 70,000 square feet, 4K, double-sided, so on both the inside and the outside. So it's three times larger than any other video surface in the NFL, largest sports video board in the world that is center hung. So it's circular, kind of runs the length of the field inside and outside. I think that's what people gravitate to when you're inside of the stadium. I think the other amazing thing about the stadium, it's the first ever indoor-outdoor stadium. So it has a clear ETFE roof, same material that is in Minnesota on half the roof. We have over the full stadium. So it's clear, but it's open air. There are no walls on the stadium. So essentially, it's a covered patio, you know, 100 feet sunk into the ground because of our proximity to LAX, which just gives it this unbelievable loud environment feel that you're covered, but it feels outdoors. Like Saturday, it was a warm day in LA and it felt warm on the field. And I think that's one of the amazing things. You can see palm trees from inside the bowl. There's a truly LA building, an amazing feat, a lot of firsts in this building. But seeing the Rams take the field, I think, was the most amazing part for me.
Any feedback from the players directly? I know I saw some of the footage online and we saw in the episode that just aired week three of Hard Knocks that the players were blown away with it. But what did they tell you, someone in your role who, you know, you've been so intimately involved with this project and these guys might have been focusing on football and not as day to day with it?
I think the first thing that they all commented on was, despite how big it is, and it's the largest stadium in the world at over 3 million square feet, it feels intimate. The stands are the closest that they are to any field in the NFL. So if you're sitting in the front row of any of our sections, you're closer than you are in the front row of any other building. And I think our players notice that, how vertical the building is. There aren't bad seats. The fans are on top of the stadium. I think they notice that. They notice the Oculus. They notice that there's always a breeze in this building, despite being warm and outside. The way the building was designed on an angle on 300-acre sports entertainment district that is Hollywood Park is designed to flow breezes through the building. So while it was warm, it was never overly hot. The sound distributed throughout the building was great, although, as Sean says throughout, the crowd noise is something we probably have to look at the NFL and playing that at a high level throughout. But I think the players just came in. They love the locker room. They love the space. They love being able to bust down into the tunnel and walk right into their locker room. And I think for so many, you know, Michael Brockers, I think, best encapsulated. He walked up to Stan Kroenke and said, "Thank you for letting me see this building. For our players who have been on this journey, feels like the culmination of something they can be really proud of."
Yeah, and you guys as an organization, I mean, you were in St. Louis and now you're in Los Angeles. Go back 5 years, whenever it was, the pitch for LA. When you're talking about expectations and what you were trying to sell to the rest of the NFL owners,
Was there a sense of great satisfaction for you just walking on that field on Saturday, finally seeing this vision you've had in your head and on, I guess, blueprints for all these years, to see it actually live and with your players on there?
Yeah, I think what was so great about it was seeing the media that got a chance to come in for the first time, you know, for Hard Knocks, for people to walk in, and the building looks exactly like it was, you know, in the renderings. There have been times where the past few weeks I've seen shots and said, oh, that's a rendering. And no, that's actually the way the stadium looks. But, you know, it is an amazing journey to this point to get the stadium open. But I truly believe that this is not the end of the journey. This is the beginning, right? This is the beginning of the NFL's return to Los Angeles in the stadium that they always envisioned, with the NFL network building right next to the stadium. This is the 300-acre campus that the NFL has long said, this is how we gain traction, you know, on the West Coast, in Los Angeles, and build that next generation of fans. So while there's a lot of pride and excitement over opening the building, I think the hard work is just beginning to make sure it lives up to everybody's expectations.
Yeah, and on that, the civic pride of Los Angeles and having the Rams and Chargers in this building now. And this felt like, okay, the Rams have arrived in Los Angeles. What kind of impact do the Rams want to make on this city now that we're entering, what, year four as this new home or old home that is now new again?
It's year five. Hard to believe that.
And is it year five?
Year four of the Sean McVay era, sure. So which you have captured in glory. But, you know, I think the one thing when you think about Los Angeles, which is so unusual for a market of the size, it's never had its own NFL stadium. When the Rams, who were the first professional sports team in all of Los Angeles, came in 1946, they played in the Coliseum, which was built in the 1920s. The Rose Bowl, which is an amazing venue, built in the 1920s. Then football was played in Anaheim Stadium and back in the Coliseum and at Dignity Health Center. Never has there been a stadium built by an NFL team, designed by an NFL team, that hosted the NFL. And so I think that's the great part about SoFi Stadium in Hollywood Park, is this is truly built with the NFL and the world's greatest events in mind. And so when you think about the Super Bowl, which will be the largest tourism event in Southern California since the 1984 Olympics. I mean, Peter, you and I have been to every Super Bowl together for the past decade or so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing to think of some of the places we've gone, you know, without going to Los Angeles, right? I mean, you think about 1993 and some of those elements. The last time, you know, the Super Bowl was played in Los Angeles, I think Christian McCaffrey's dad was playing in his first Super Bowl for the Broncos.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, it starts to give you, you know, some element of what was going on. We're talking Leon Lett. I mean, that is
Don Beebe chasing down Leon Lett. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that is the last time Super Bowl was held in Los Angeles. So when you think about all the places it's been in between in great cities, but the fact that it hasn't been in the entertainment capital of the world, and those are the kinds of things, you know, that get me excited. And thinking about the long-term future, the job impact, we've had 12,000 people work on this stadium, over 100 million in women and small minority business contracts awarded to Inglewood and the surrounding areas, that kind of economic impact. And it's not just the stadium. I mean, you've driven by, flown over the campus when you come in for your Fox work, but 300 acres, 1 million square feet of office space, 1 million square feet of retail, 300-room hotel, apartments, 25 acres of Parks at Lake, a stadium, a 6,000-seat music venue. This is an amazing sports and entertainment district that I think will truly change, you know, the landscape of the way people look at how, you know, NFL stadiums are used on non-game days.
I'm going to ask you this because I know what role you play in the organization. I got to think the wind was knocked out of a lot of sails for people who have dedicated their lives over the last 5 years into this project and then being told no fans, no Taylor Swift. How do you bring out the best from the business side of the building and keep them upbeat and keep them positive? And really, what have you learned through this setback of the pandemic, and yet the show has to go on?
Well, I think the one thing that Sean always talks about, which resonates truly in a pandemic, right, is if we can't handle adversity as leadership, then there's no way our players, our coaches, our staff will be able to handle adversity, which is everything you need, not only in the NFL, but in life. And I think if there's one thing, you know, the 2020 has taught all of us, is that, you know, bonding together your culture, getting through with adversity is the best factor that you can handle right now. And so I think for our staff who have worked hard for this moment, seeing their joy walking in to turn on the video board on Saturday, to get into the stadium, you know, to wear the new uniforms, things that we've worked on for years. It's not debuting the way we thought. That's true for everybody. And if you let that setback dictate what the next 20 to 30 years of Los Angeles Rams football will be, shame on us, right? Sometimes things don't go your way. Sometimes Trent Green blows out his knee in the preseason. That doesn't mean that 2020 can't be our Kurt Warner.
I love it.
And
I love it.
That's the way I think we all have to look at this, which is none of us imagined the NFL was going to be playing, testing every day with these protocols, you know, flying around. I mean, we go back to back to Philadelphia and Buffalo to play in front of empty stadiums. That doesn't make a ton of conceptual sense. And everybody talks about the team that will handle it the best. But I think that's true for organizations, right? Let's hope this is short term and we'll look back on 2020 as one of those weird years, and that as a nation in 2021, we're returning to all of the events that we love. And you and I can be meeting up at the Regent Beverly Wilshire and having a drink on Saturday nights. But if that's not the case, then if we're going to play games, if we're going to open this stadium, let's do it to the best of our ability and make sure that we do it the right way for the Los Angeles Rams and for the NFL.
My last question before letting you go, I know you're a busy man, between now and September 13th, which is that opening night, what can we build on? And then what can we expect for that opening game where Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, Michelle Tafoya will be on the call, and Jared Goff's going up against Dak Prescott in the start of a new era for Rams football?
You know, it's interesting how we'll open the building against the Cowboys when our first game back on the Coliseum, 92,000 fans for a preseason game against the Cowboys. Probably one of our greatest moments in the Coliseum was the 2018 divisional win, you know, over the Cowboys. So opening it up, September 13th against the Cowboys, you know, seems to make so much sense conceptually. But it's time to go play football, right? And, you know, it's hard to think. We sit here, we're 3 weeks out.
It's crazy, isn't it?
From the opener, Peter, which is just crazy. I mean, I think our clocks, our NFL clocks, just aren't firing that way. And you're starting to see the fantasy excitement and team, you know, starting to work on those lineups. And here we're getting ready for week three of the preseason this weekend, the dress rehearsal, you know, of how things go. And so I think for us, it's about, hey, how do we continue to break in Brandon Staley's defense and make sure they're humming? Sean has three more weeks in the lab to get ready for Mike Nolan and the Cowboys defense. And as an organization, we have 3 weeks to show off SoFi Stadium in the best possible light. So when people turn on their television on Sunday Night Football and I see Collinsworth slide into Al Michaels into the SoFi broadcast booth, you know, for the first time, that people walk away and say, Stan Kroenke and the Rams got it right, and the NFL got it right in Los Angeles. And I think that, to me, is the onus that is on all of us for the next few weeks. And we're going to do it the best way we can in this pandemic era. But I am hopeful that when you kick off Good Morning Football on Monday, September 14th, the lead story is how impressive the Rams were in the world's most impressive stadium the night before.
It's pretty good writing right there. I could see Liev Schreiber doing that narration right now. That was pretty good, Kevin. That sounds good. And you got me ready to run through a wall, and I'm excited for you personally, professionally, and of course, all of the Rams fans and the Rams organization. Thank you for your time, dude. We appreciate it. It means a lot that you'd come on. I know how busy you are, and good luck with everything leading up to September 13th and then the actual official launch of SoFi Stadium in an NFL regular season.
Let's get going. As our head coach says, football is fun. He says some other things too, but
yeah, he did. That's good. Good luck in everything that's coming. And thanks again, my man.
See you, bud.
Kevin Demoff's been through his fair share of contract negotiations as the head of the Rams business operations. And the Chargers have a rather strange one going on during this episode that is brought up and resolved over the course of the week with star defensive end Melvin Ingram. Remember, I told you about Melvin Ingram and his hold-in at the end of last week's podcast episode. Well, we get to hear Ingram's side on this one. We get to hear the team's side on this one. And by the end of the episode, the entire deal is restructured and Melvin Ingram is going to get more guaranteed money in 2020 than was originally expected. Just like that, that training camp distraction is no longer a distraction. Ingram seems happy and the Chargers seem happy with the investment.
between Ingram and Joey Bosa and Chris Harris and Keenan Allen and safety Derwin James and the newly paid running back Austin Eckler, the Chargers appear to have a roster that's loaded with household names. But having big names doesn't guarantee you anything in the NFL. The Chargers know that. Sometimes it's guys like Drew Tranquil who make you Super Bowl contenders and get you over the hump and across the finish line. Who is Drew Tranquil? Daniel Jeremiah knows who Drew Tranquil is, and he knows a thing or two about the Chargers, having been the voice of their games on the radio for the past two seasons.
What's going on, Shregs? How you doing, bud?
Jeremiah is also one of the leading NFL draft experts on television. And after years in the NFL where he worked as a scout for teams like the Ravens and the Browns, Jeremiah applies those skills to the media world. He's a wealth of information on all things Los Angeles Chargers, and he's the reason I know the name Drew Tranquil. We are now three episodes into this show, getting a feel for the Chargers, getting a feel for the Rams. You've been around the Chargers the last 3 years extensively, traveling with the team, doing the radio broadcasts. Does it feel like this is a new era of Chargers football because Phil Rivers is not there? Or is this a really good team that's just happening to be changing quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think it is a little bit of both. I think it definitely is a new era because Philip, while he was not only kind of the leader of the team, he was the personality of the team. You know, you take on the personality of your leader. So, you know, who's going to step into that void, at least on the offensive side of the ball? I think defensively, this is Derwin James. It's his defense right now, even with Bosa signing that huge contract and all the other playmakers they have. He's kind of the voice in the face of the defense. Who's going to be the voice in the face of the offense? I think that's TBD right now. I mean, that's something that's going to, you know, transpire over the year. We'll see who emerges in that role. But that's one of the fascinating storylines. I think the Hard Knocks has done a good job of seeing who's going to fill that void.
So let's go into the quarterback room a little bit, or the virtual quarterback room, whatever it is. Let's talk about Herbert, because Tyrod's going to maybe start week one, but Herbert's the long-term answer. Your worlds overlap a little bit. You're the lead draft analyst, for my money, the best in the business, and you had a chance to not only go to the Oregon Pro Day, one of the last Pro Days that existed before they shut everything down before the pandemic, but you've extensively spoke with everybody. I'll tell you straight up, the knock on Herbert, and they echoed it in the second episode, not the most vocal guy, doesn't take snaps from under center. For the listener at home who might not necessarily have watched Oregon football or know the difference between college and the NFL game, what are those obstacles and how accurate are some of those critiques?
Well, I think, you know, not taking snaps from under center is kind of universal right now for most of these kids coming out of college. It's just the way that they play. So that to me is not something that's totally different in that regard. But you look at the adjustment that he needs to make going forward. It's really kind of the off-schedule plays. It's the opposite of a lot of quarterbacks. A lot of quarterbacks come out and we see them create, make these magical plays, but then you know, asking them to play in structure, they might struggle a little bit more with that. Herbert's the opposite. Everything's on time, in rhythm, on schedule. He's big, strong. He can make every throw. He can drive the ball. He can layer it and throw with some touch. It's just you want to see him be a little less robotic. So when things broke down, when that initial play is not there, can you create? He's ultra athletic, but we just didn't see him really kind of create a lot of plays and make some of those kind of backyard plays. So it seems to me, talking to folks with the Chargers, that's something they've really kind of drilled with him and worked with him and letting some of that kind of natural ability come to the surface, because he has everything, Peter. You know, we talk about that pro day. You watch him, he can let it rip. I mean, mm-hmm. He is a big, strong dude who is a very good athlete. So it's just a matter of just getting a little more comfortable, and I think they'll give him some freedom in this offense when he eventually gets on the field.
What about the personality? Because it seems next to none on this show. And, you know, an NFL quarterback, you could say, well, Eli Manning didn't have a huge personality, but he
Joe
did
Flacco.
Internally. Joe Flacco. But those guys were respected leaders, and leadership isn't always led with words, but you know, they even addressed, it's not me taking shots at the kid, they addressed it on the show. He's not a big talker. And the stat that kept on coming up, or fact during the pre-draft stuff, is born and raised in Eugene, Oregon, went to college at Eugene, Oregon, never left his hometown. Now he's in Los Angeles. Be honest, be accurate, and kind of give me the scouting report, and the negatives are okay on this one.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you hear that, and when we had him, we've talked to him probably five times with Bucky and myself. We talked to him at two Pac-12 media days, so over a couple-year period. And we talked to him at the Senior Bowl. We talked to him at the Combine. We talked to him at the Pro Day, which was the last time that we spoke with him. And he got more comfortable with us, you know, a little bit more every time, where I could see that, okay, I think his personality is that outside in, he's not going to let you into his world and you're not going to see much of that personality at all. But when he's comfortable around you and you get to know him a little bit, you start to see he's got a little bit of a sense of humor to him. He's got a little personality. It just, it doesn't come to the forefront. And when we talked to his college roommate, and he told us some good stories about him. So he's just got to kind of come out of that shell a little bit more. And I think as he gets comfortable there, you'll start to see more of that with the Chargers. But I mean, this is not Baker Mayfield. You know, he's not going to light up the room when he comes in there. But, you know, Peter, I haven't been around this a long time. The wins come, the personality will come out a little bit, and he'll be fine. I do think the concern I had was what happens when you get some adversity, because you've been in a very comfortable environment. You know, it's the only environment he's ever known. So now you step out of that comfort zone, and now you get some real adversity. You have a couple bad games. Like, how is he going to be able to handle that? You know, Mario Cristobal, the people I talked to at Oregon say he'll be fine. He'll be able to handle that. We don't know. We won't know until he goes through it.
All right, from that personality to another new one to the locker room, and we saw him heavily profiled on the third episode, Chris Harris Jr., a big signing from the rival Denver Broncos. What do you know of Chris Harris, and what is he bringing to this team as far as veteran leadership goes?
Well, it's been fun to watch over the last couple of years, just watching the games between the Broncos and the Chargers, watching him and Keenan Allen go at it. A very intense matchup and very good battles between the two. So I know from the Chargers side of things, anxious to actually have him on their side, not have to go up against him. But I think he's if not the best, one of the best nickel corners in the National Football League. You can put him in on the slot, and he can wipe guys out, he can take guys away. And so many offenses right now are working inside out. So having that guy that can match up, if you're playing the Saints and they want to, you know, they throw Michael Thomas in there, you got a fighting chance with Chris Harris, whereas most guys are just going to get overwhelmed. But then he also has the ability to step out and play outside if you need him to. So I think the development of a couple guys, of Michael Davis and of Brandon Faison, if they can continue to take strides forward, I think that's what you're going to see. You're going to start opening day. I think you're going to see Chris Harris inside with Casey Hayward outside, and whoever wins between Michael Davis and Faison on the other side, with Desmond King kind of being able to serve in that, you know, nickel backer, dime backer, kind of, you know, just some of the creativity that Gus Bradley can bring to the table. I think you're going to have to find a way to work him in. But I just think Chris Harris is a better cover player in the slot than Desmond King.
You live in the market. You work for the NFL Network, which is based in Culver City, California, and is going to be moving to Hollywood Park. We had Kevin Demoff, who's the COO and the executive vice president of the Rams, on earlier. You're representing the Chargers here. How's this dynamic working? And we're seeing it in Hard Knocks, but there's not a lot of overlap. Like, how competitive are these two teams despite not being in the same division?
You know, I think from the outside, it looks like it's this big rivalry and these guys hate each other. And maybe it's true. I don't know. Maybe it is true. All I know is that when I'm around the Chargers as much as I've been around them, the topic doesn't really even kind of come up. I mean, it's like they're two teams operating, you know, this year out of the same facility, but there's enough going on, especially going on in the world right now. The Chargers just kind of focusing on their own deal here, and the Rams, it seems to be, they're focused on theirs. So maybe there's a rivalry, but it's not a vocal rivalry. This is not talked about.
Before we wrap, Chargers as a whole, like, there's 32 teams. We're seeing two of them on Hard Knocks. We usually fall in love with the Hard Knocks team, and it's impossible not to love what we see from Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram and Austin Eckler. This team lights up the cameras. What's realistic for 2020 as far as Chargers expectations, and you being around the team, being the voice of the team? Obviously, you might be biased on what you're hoping to see, but what are you thinking as you watch this team really unfold?
Well, I think, look, this is a team that's just 2 years removed from being 12-4 and winning a playoff game and knocking the Ravens out. So this is a team last year that, even though the wins didn't pile up, they played the Chiefs, at least defensively. They held Mahomes under 200 yards in each of those games. They were competitive with them. They had Kenneth Murray. They bring in Chris Harris, Linval Joseph. I mean, this could be one of the three best defenses in the National Football League, without question. The big question mark is, with Tyrod Taylor replacing Phillip Rivers, what does this offense look like? How long does it take them to get up to speed? And so when I factor all that in, I think the division's really good. Obviously, you got the world champions in the division. The Raiders are better. The Broncos are better. You know, I I think being realistic, Peter, I think you're trying to sneak in the playoffs. And if that's nine wins, if you can get 9 wins and sneak into the playoffs, I mean, that's a that'd be a tremendous accomplishment. I think that the ceiling might be a little bit lower for this team this year, but I think it's actually a high floor because they're going to run the football well. Yeah. They're going to play great defense. They're going to be in every football game. Tyrod Taylor, whatever you think of Tyrod Taylor, he does not turn the ball over.
No.
So
he won't lose games for you.
It feels like to me like this is like a 7 to 9 to 10. Like that's kind of the range of where this team's going to be.
Lastly, we've seen 3 episodes of Hard Knocks now. Who is the guy that we haven't seen profiled that you think deserves a little shine based on traveling with this team and knowing these guys inside and out?
Ooh, that's a great question. In terms of personalities, in terms of players, it's Drew Tranquil. Like I'm all in on Drew Tranquil.
Who is Drew Tranquil? We have not had our Drew Tranquil Liev Schreiber narration yet.
Yeah, he is a linebacker, a second year linebacker out of Notre Dame who last year, you know, started off on special teams, was blocking punts, making all kind of plays, and finally got more work on the defensive side of the ball. He emerged and played really well there. So I think he's kind of an on-the-come player. He's got a chance to be a really, really good starter at linebacker for the Chargers. So that'd be one I'd keep an eye on. Maybe he'll get some run here before this thing's all done.
And personality-wise, who's the big personality we haven't seen?
No, I'm trying to run through my head now here, the personalities. I'm going like position by position here. You know, I don't think we've gotten any Hunter Henry.
We haven't.
Hunter Henry's like sneaky funny. Okay. Like he's got a good personality. He's got a little bit of a wit to him, a little dry wit to him. So I wouldn't mind getting a little Hunter Henry love here at some point in time.
We saw Hunter Henry take a coronavirus COVID-19 test, and that's been the extent of it.
That was it. A little swab.
Saw a swab of the nose. That's it. He giggled. That was all.
By the way, does your nose itch just watching that?
Yes.
Because mine does.
My brain itches.
How do you keep from sneezing?
I know.
I don't know. Great mysteries.
Guys, his name is Daniel Jeremiah, but his Twitter and his Instagram is at MoveTheSticks. He's a fantastic follow on Twitter, on social media, but also great on the NFL Network and on the Move the Sticks podcast. Good luck calling Chargers games this year. You're a busy man, DJ. We appreciate you so much for joining the Hard Knocks podcast.
You are the best, Shriggs. Thanks, buddy.
Every week on the Hard Knocks podcast, I pick my MVP of the episode. Now, look, I've seen a lot of things in my years covering the league. You name it, I've probably seen it. But in this week's Hard Knocks episode, I saw something I have never seen before. A player that plays football on the field, in games, in practice, with a toothpick in his mouth. That's where we start with our introduction to Rams rookie Juju Hughes, who, yes, conducts an interview for the show while having a toothpick in his mouth under his mask.
It's the toothpick that get the love, you feel me? That's all it is. The toothpick.
Yeah, this man got a toothpick in practice and in the games.
This man eat, sleep, practice, meetings. This man got a toothpick in his mouth 24-7.
24-7.
I'm telling you.
There you go, Juju! I see you, Mr. Hughes!
Man, yeah, it's me, man. You know, you see me, you see the toothpick. I'm never without it. Came my thing. We going on like year 7 or 8 with it, so I'm a pro with it at this point, I feel like.
I never see him use it, man. Why do you have it?
So at first it was supposed to be to stop biting my nails. It helped for like 2 weeks. I stopped biting my nails, and then yeah, I started back biting my nails, but it just became my thing, man. Everybody got used to me having the toothpick.
You got a toothpick in right now?
Come on now, you know, let me flash the pick on you. I know it's under the mask. It's always on me. You know I always got it. I feel safer with it in than when it's out. So, like I said, we're going on year 8. Just my signature, man. It's just my thing now. I don't know.
Juju Hughes for showing us something that I have never seen before. And as a fellow toothpick enthusiast, you are the MVP of the week. And now that you have my MVP, I'm going to wrap the show by leaving you with something I'm intrigued by and think is worth tracking for next week. You see, this episode, it was all about some of the Rams rookies, and yet I have still not seen Cam Akers, their stud running back who they selected in the second round, take a snap, catch a ball, or do anything on this show. And he's got huge shoes to fill this season. You see, 3 years ago, Todd Gurley was the NFL's Offensive Player of the Year and the Rams running back. 2 years ago, scored 20 touchdowns. But Gurley battled injuries in 2019 and was unceremoniously let go by the team in March. The Rams addressed the running back position by selecting Cam Akers in the second round of April's draft. But we have not seen the Florida State superstar on the show beyond him walking in after taking a COVID test. Akers has huge shoes to fill. Gurley was a superstar both on the field and off in Los Angeles. And Rams fans and, well, let's be honest, fantasy football owners are hoping that he is ready to take the leap. But as the season is now less than 3 weeks away, and as Kevin Demoff reminded us, the Cowboys are coming into town. I sure am curious to see what Cam Akers is bringing to the table and what he's got going on in Rams training camp. That's a lot on the plate for any 21-year-old, and with the expectations the Rams have this season, so much is relying on what Cam Akers can do. And yet, the NFL allows for no excuses. You better be ready, guy. I'd love to see how Cam Akers is progressing, or just how he even looks in that new Rams uniform. Hard Knocks producers, what do you say? Some Cam Akers next week. That's it for this week's episode of the Hard Knocks podcast. Big thank yous to Kevin Demoff and Daniel Jeremiah for joining us here on episode 3. This show is produced by HBO Sports and NFL Media. Make sure you check out the Hard Knocks Instagram page at Hard Knocks HBO for exclusive clips from the Chargers and Rams training camps all week long. And hey, if you want even more Hard Knocks in your life, visit NFL.com where NFL Network's Dan Hansus provides detailed recaps for every episode. And if you want to keep up with all the things that are happening in the NFL all season long, be sure to subscribe to both the Around the NFL and the Move the Sticks podcasts on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. As always, guys, we want to hear from you. Feel free to tweet me at pschrags. That's P-S-C-H-R-A-G-S. Let me know how you're liking the show so far and if there's something or someone you'd like to hear more about or have on the show as a guest. I'm your host, Peter Schrager. Make sure you watch Hard Knocks Episode 4 next Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern on HBO and stream it on HBO Max. You can find the Hard Knocks podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, HBO Max, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. We're going to be back with a new episode next week. Thank you so much for listening.